This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Zeoli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Zeoli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
The original guidelines for whether you could get a test were somewhat restrictive. The FDA has now removed those restrictions. You know, it was part of the thing was, well, you have to have been either in contact with someone or very closely geographically. It doesn't matter where you are or who you are, you could get a test.
That was Dr. Fauci. You can get a test. Welcome back to the show. Sorry to interrupt with that cut. It's been a busy morning. 855-839-1210. I want to take your calls. How are you doing with all this? Are you working from home today? Are you self-isolating? What's going on? Give me your story. Are you frustrated? Are you angry? Fearful? Optimistic? What are your thoughts? 855-839-1210. The governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, has essentially now shut down Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. It is really the epicenter of the outbreak in the state. It's more than half of the 22 cases of the virus have been found there. The governor said yesterday, quote, that is the epicenter of this epidemic at this point. And the move, which promised to create disruption and uncertainty for the county's nearly 830,000 residents, was the state's first government-mandated school closure. As the governor orders 63 schools shut, gyms shut, non-essential retail shut, and on it goes. And throughout our area, we have cancellations happening left and right. The Kimmel Center shut down. The Wells Fargo Center shut down. There'll be no 76ers games, no Flyers games. And the governor, in his social distancing measure, Pennsylvania, aimed at mitigating the spread of the illness, directed all schools, community centers, gyms, and entertainment venues in Montgomery County, where more than half of the state's 22 cases of the coronavirus have been found, to shutter starting today, Friday. Across the region Thursday, the virus toll began to look increasingly dystopian. Grocery stores were imposing purchase limits. This is from the Daily News. Justin McDaniel, Anna Orso, and Ellie Silverman writing this. Both Wolf and New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy recommended canceling all public gatherings of more than 250 people. While Philadelphia banned events with 1,000 people or more for the next month and urged organizers of gatherings between 250 and 1,000 people to cancel them. Over in New York, the governor there, Andrew Cuomo, mandated executive order, no events more than 500 people. So if it's at 498 people, I guess it's fine. I don't really know how that works, but these numbers are very arbitrary. Realize that it's arbitrary. But how's it looking for you today? 855-839-1210. Let's go to Jenna in Drexel Hill. Jenna, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. What's up?
So I'm currently in my classroom in a West Philadelphia school. I will not say my school name. But what scares me about this whole situation is that the school district made this decision because you live typically close to where you work. So they chose schools that have high populations of teachers and staff that live in Montgomery County. Great. Well, the school 8 blocks down the street from me is closed, but my school's not closed. And half of our support staff is out today. So as a teacher, I'm supposed to make sure that things are clean, which I'm not provided supplies. The district has not provided supplies for me to clean my room. I teach in 2 different classrooms. Not a single desk has been wiped down, not a single chair. The only thing that's been wiped down in my school are the door handles outside, not inside my classroom. And everything that I have to do to protect myself is on me to wipe down. Now, I am smart enough that I have bought stuff throughout the year and kept it. But I have kids that can't go to the bathroom on a regular day. We don't have hot water. The sinks do not stay on, but I'm supposed to teach my kids like a regular school day, like nothing's going on. Meanwhile, a number of them have siblings at schools that are closed. But the kicker is my husband also works in the district, and his school is currently closed, and he is at home sleeping currently because he doesn't have school, as well as my own children who live in Delaware County. We live in Delaware County. Their school is closed. So I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do if my children are going to be self-quarantined for 14 days, and the school district of Philadelphia tells me I still have to come to work.
What do you think the answer is, Jenna, from your perspective? I mean, should the school be closed? Should your school be closed?
I think in general, if they're closing one specific county that numerous people have access to, given you're closing, you know, the Plymouth Meeting Mall, you're closing the Willow Grove Mall, where large people congregate. If you are in West Philly, it is very easy to get to two or three different counties just on SEPTA alone. So I think if they were smart, the governor needs to say the southeastern part of the state where you have a number of cases, the majority of the 22, close everything down. Close everything. Don't put constraints on people who have to make choices between going to work and taking care of their children. And I think if it comes down to as a teacher, I'm doing what I have to do to protect myself and protect my children. But you're telling me that I have to make a decision between taking care of my family and coming to work. And that is not a fair position to be put in, nor is it an educated position to put people in.
So I want to make sure everybody understands that they ordered 63 city schools closed today. Your school is just not one of them.
Correct.
Okay.
But a school eight blocks down the street is closed.
Right. No, that's very frustrating. So you've got all this on you and you don't even have the supplies to clean it. Jenna, thanks for that. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. I appreciate
Thank
it very,
you.
Very much. Hang in there. Okay.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Appreciate that. That's a very frustrating part of this. How is it for you today? 855-839-1210. The governor of New Jersey suggesting no more than 250 people in an event. The governor of New York mandating no more than 500. The governor of Pennsylvania suggesting no more than 500. This executive order by Governor Tom Wolf affecting Montgomery County, and of course it may spread after that. But throughout, I mean, Montgomery County is really the kind of the heart of this. So if you're in Montgomery today, my heart goes out to you. Your frustration, I can only imagine it today. It's going to be frustrating the next few weeks, I think, certainly without question for that. 855-839-1210. Tom is in Summers Point. Tom, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. How's family?
Everybody's great, Tom. What's up, bud?
Okay, listen, well, my day was taking my son to the airport at 4 in the morning. It was kind of surreal because the roads are empty. A lot of people going into Atlantic City International, I guess, for Florida flights. Get to the Acme. They opened up. Shelves pretty much are stocked, except for Corral and all that other good stuff. But my business is I got to go in people's homes. So I can do some paperwork from home, but go out in the road and go in people's homes, it's essentially what I have to do. But the main thing I called to say was yesterday, very frustrating to hear Joe Biden, because I thought back to history, World War II, how we all came together after Pearl Harbor. More recently, 9/11, how the whole country pulled together behind George Bush when he stood on the rubble. When I heard Joe Biden, I grieved inside. It broke my heart because, just like you've been saying all morning about China, it's so depressing to see politicians go against the United States. This should be a moment when we galvanize and realize that, we're all Americans. We have a problem, our supply chains. It's a teachable moment where the whole country can come together and we can kind of say, hey, what are we doing to ourselves? We're getting to the point where our supply chains, our drugs, everything's in China. And this is what Trump's been saying since the 80s. They should stand behind the president. So I know I'm on a little rant. I just carried a bunch of groceries in. So,
no, listen, I hear you, Tom. Well, stay safe, brother. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Stay safe as you go into those homes today. You got it. Absolutely. No doubt. Sophia's in Spring City. Sophia, good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for having me. So I work in Montgomery County. The company I work for, we're still open, but we're trying to get people ready to work from home. I feel very fortunate enough to be able to do that. But unfortunately, my mother, for instance, she works for Widener, and apparently she's not going to be working again until the fall. So um, she she's going to get paid time off for a little bit, but not for the whole summer. So I'm, you know, I'm really worried about my parents. You know, they don't have jobs where they have the ability to work from home, you know, and they don't make that much money. So I'm just worried about them. But, you know, my boyfriend and I are preppers, so we're pretty much ready for anything over here. It is surreal, like the previous caller said, you know, it's kind of scary. I kind of freaked out a little bit yesterday, but I was like, you know what, I can't freak out. Like, I'm just going to take all the necessary precautions and, you know, make sure that I'm there for my family, whatever they need, and the people I work for. You know, I'm setting up people's computers to work from home today, so should be fun.
Sophia, when you say you and your husband are preppers, that means that in general, what do you prep for? How do you prep? How do you do it?
So we have dried foods, so dehydrated foods that last for 25 years. All you need is water in order to make them edible again. We also have a ton of water jugs, and we have a filter that we have on our sink, so we can fill up a ton of water if we have to. We have food. We have, sleeping bags, a way to make a fire if we had to, like, live outside. We have tents, like, all that necessary stuff. The only thing we don't have right now is a generator, so that's the next thing that we're working on getting, just in case of, like, you know, a power outage or something like that.
Well, listen, I appreciate the call. It's you, right now you're looking like the smartest person in the room, so thanks, Sophia. Hang in there today, okay?
Yeah, thank you. You too. Take care.
All right, 855-839-1210. The coronavirus fears wiped out, of course, the rest of the NBA season and NHL. March Madness canceled. Major League Baseball is on hold. Even they're talking about the NFL being on hold because of recruitment and whatnot. So that may be on hold as well. The timeline on this is pretty amazing. Wednesday, 9:46 p.m., the NBA suspends the season. That was 9:46 p.m. on Wednesday. If you remember, on Thursday on the show, we talked about that, but then after that, it was Major League Soccer suspend season for 30 days. Now, at that time, by the way, I just want to point this out, we were still doing our endorsements for the various sports books, Greg,
yes.
Right, Greg? And that was something we were doing. We were doing the various endorsements of various different things, right?
Right.
We're not doing that anymore.
Well,
because there's no sports to bet on.
There's
literally no sports to bet on. That's amazing, right?
It is.
I can't remember a time when there's never been sports. Think about that for a second.
Yeah, I mean, after 9/11, a lot of sports stopped, but it stopped for what? Maybe a week?
Yeah, I mean, it was September, so we were in
baseball.
I think they delayed
football.
The World Series, right?
And remember, didn't George W. throw out the first pitch at that, and it was a great American moment?
Right.
And we all sort of came together and celebrated, you know, that sports was back and baseball, and we're hoorah, we're all Americans in this together. So
it seemed like as one sport was canceled, then it became the domino effect, as they say.
Everybody wanted to, like, nobody wanted to be the only sport, because yesterday was the NBA, and then the NHL was like, you know, no. And then
So listen to this timeline, right? So Wednesday, 9:46 p.m., it's the NBA. They suspend the season. Thursday, 11:42 a.m., Major League Soccer suspends season for 30 days. 11:49 a.m., Big Ten tournament is canceled. 11:58 a.m. on Thursday, PGA, Professional Golf, says, continuous schedule but without fans through the Texas Open the week before the Masters, which starts April 9th. 1:09 p.m., the Big East tournament is canceled. 1:29 p.m., yesterday, Michigan cancels its football pro day scheduled for Friday. On Wednesday, Ohio State and Michigan cancel their spring football game scheduled for April 11th and the 18th. 1:33 p.m., NASCAR announces it will hold its next two races in Hampton, Georgia and Homestead, Florida, but without fans. But the races will go on for now, Greg, but without fans.
Without fans.
Yes. Wow. Put it down. 1:36 p.m., NHL suspends the season indefinitely. 2:25 p.m., Penn State postpones all football activities, including its Tuesday pro day, indefinitely. The school has not yet made a decision on its April 18th spring game. Now, we carry Penn State on the station.
We
still have games to play? Or?
No, I got the word yesterday at about right when your timeline was like 1:30, that the games that were supposed to play last night were all canceled. And then, you know, everybody else followed suit. You know, the whole March Madness was, you know, followed suit after that.
Now, what is the status of baseball? Because this is interesting. At 3:10 p.m. yesterday, Major League Baseball canceled the remainder of spring training.
Yep.
And delayed opening day by at least 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yes. So they're, I mean, they're kind of, it's kind of a wait and see thing. But spring training for baseball players is really a time to, you know, get out all the kinks and, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, so if you delay that 2 weeks, you're actually putting players at risk because they're not going to have played for a month almost until opening day. So we might not be playing baseball until July, honestly.
That's crazy. I had tickets for opening day, too. I mean, I didn't pay for them, but 4:16 p.m., NCAA cancels men's and women's basketball tournaments plus all remaining winter and spring championships. 7:16 p.m., the XFL cancels the remainder of their 2020 season but vows to return in 2021. 9:59 p.m. yesterday, PGA cancels the Players' Championship and all events through the Texas Open. Plans for the Masters remain unclear. This is from NJ.com. NFL analyst Daryl Slater writing this. It's an amazing timeline. It's like dominoes, one after another. Boom, 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 boom. So nothing's left right now, right? There's no WrestleMania, I think. They haven't canceled that yet, have they?
No, that's the very beginning of April. So I would assume, I mean, that's what.
Everybody's watching this.
80,000 people in one place. I would assume they're going to have to cancel that.
Now, as of last night, I was going back and forth with Tom Skopinich, who will be, you know, my buddy, our lawyer, Tom Skopinich. And he was saying that they were, as of last night, it was funny because we're going back and forth on a text chain about things that are closed in our area. And there were no court cancellations, at least in Monco. But then last night he got his notices, Montgomery County suspending all jury trials till March 27th. So everything is kind of happening, and then it's sort of it happens in like a cascade, yes, so to speak.
Yes, and so my prediction is things out of this will be born. In other words, my one son was saying, well, they have video game competitions and like the Olympics of video games. So non-contact so-called sports. I swear to you, this is what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to become famous, and then we'll be talking about who's betting on some name that we've never heard, who's like the video game champion of whatever, because people love, you know, first of all, people need to be entertained right now because we're all, you know, we're fearful. We're worried about this. So,
well, I like the idea of the virtual, the game competition. I also, we may have the first presidential election that's a virtual election. Now, think about that for a second. The candidates have canceled their rallies and their events.
Yes.
They're basically doing everything digitally right now, which is only to their advantage, because if a candidate's doing it virtually, then it's easier to hide their mistakes than in a rally. It's hard to do that in a rally when they're just freewheeling. You know what I mean? So that works to their advantage, not ours. We may never again shake hands with a presidential candidate, at least not in the next several months. You know what I'm saying? Like, this election may be that unique in that sense. So as things become the norm, it may just become the new norm of politics where we just have virtual political campaigns. Because if you're a candidate, why would you not want to do it? It's going to save you a ton of money and save you a ton of cash. If you don't have to shake hands with people, why not? And then if all you got to do is just turn on your whatever and you could hear an address from a candidate or ask questions or whatever, and it's all virtual, no more political rallies.
What about like Democratic primaries? Because they start back up next week, don't they?
I don't know. Great question. Are the polls going to be open?
Yeah, like Ohio, I know, and Florida, and you know, Wisconsin. In the next 2 weeks, there's going to be some big states up for grabs for the Democratic primary. I wonder if they're going to do some sort of ballot
Who is the Dr. Amy Acton? Speaking of Ohio, this is what she said. She's their health director for Ohio. If this number is true, this is terrifying here. Cut 13.
We know now just the fact of community spread says that at least 1%, at the very least 1% of our population is carrying this virus in Ohio today. We have 11.7 million people, so the math is over 100,000. So that just gives you a sense of how this virus spreads and is spreading quickly.
That's terrifying if that number is accurate. Tom Messmer on Twitter. Thanks, Tom. He says, they haven't canceled horse racing. You could bet from home. Tracks are open without fans. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, they were saying this is a zoonotic illness, so I hope the horse doesn't catch it.
Wait, you're saying the animals can catch this?
Well, there was that dog in China. Greg and I are animal, you know, dog lovers.
Right.
So he was worried about Kobe. I was worried about Buddy. There was a dog in China whose, you know, family had COVID-19.
I think that's fake news. I think
you think it's fake news.
All right, well, let's find out about that. That'd be good.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Joe is in Lansdale. Joe, good morning.
Hey, great program. Thanks for doing this for everyone here today. We appreciate it. You know, I've been following this virus since December, believe it or not. I mean, there's been, you know, really closely since December. There's actually a guy on Twitter, at Lookner, if you want to look him up. Steve Lookner's name is. He does a daily podcast on YouTube, and he's been talking about this virus in great detail since December. So it's intriguing, but the worst possible situation happened, right? It broke out in a communist nation, and that's where it was created. I fully believe it was created. I don't think it was, you know, through nature. But in any event, broke out in a communist nation. We don't have any kind of visibility to true facts, statistics. All we can go by is kind of government-mandated material and information. That's probably the biggest piece, I think, in terms of fear. People just don't have accurate information. I mean, Italy's probably the closest we have in terms of, you know, getting real data, and that's kind of being held back now as well. I'm the biggest supporter of Trump you're ever going to meet. I took my kids to see him in Wildwood. I love him. I donate to him. But I do think that they kind of botched this a little bit. I do think that the testing should have, preparing for the testing should have occurred a long time ago. They should have known in December that this was the potential to be a pandemic. That's when we should have started creating test kits, not now. Now we're playing catch up. And that's, you know, the problem with that is now you're playing defense. And you know, as much as I love Trump, this is going to certainly be a big deal. We live in Monco. It's been impacting us. When it's going to really start getting bad, Rich, is when it gets to the point where a child is impacted. When a child is impacted and a young person in this country dies, then we're going to have some big problems. So,
well, there's
just wanted to share that.
I appreciate that. There's no doubt this is going to be an issue in the campaign without a doubt. Joe, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. There's a story from AEIR. This is I always try to find for you interesting stories from different sites than just the mainstream media. I feel like it's one of my jobs. One of the things I hope you trust me to do. And the I just want to pull this up real quick. The internet, of course, being slow when you need it to. The American Institute for Economic Research, very libertarian leaning, how the U.S. botched coronavirus testing. Now, this is a key point. I'm not trying to get anybody off the hook here. I just want to point this out. Many Americans are wondering why public health officials are not doing more to speed up deployment of coronavirus testing kits. What would happen if a private team of doctors offered an effective test before federal regulators approved one? Dr. Helen Chu and a team of infectious disease experts in Seattle found out the answer. The government will stop you. According to a New York Times investigation, Dr. Chu and a team of researchers in the Seattle area have been collecting nasal swabs from residents experiencing symptoms in an effort to monitor the spread of the flu in the region. Turned out they could use their tests to monitor the coronavirus outbreak, but they would need approval from state and federal officials to do so legally. But nearly everywhere Dr. Chu turned, officials repeatedly rejected the idea. The New York Times investigation shows that even though it was clear that the virus was already ravaging China and likely to spread in the U.S., she and her team decided to start performing coronavirus tests without government approval anyway. Their worst fears were confirmed as they were able to document that a local teenager had the virus. Government officials later confirmed the findings from Dr. Chu's team. According to Times reporters Sherry Fink and Mike Baker, however, regulators still would not allow her team to move forward with more testing. Quote, federal and state officials said the flu study could not be repurposed because it did not have explicit permission from research subjects. The labs were also not certified for clinical work. While acknowledging the ethical questions, Dr. Chu and others argue there should be more flexibility in an emergency during which so many lives could be lost. On Monday night, state regulators told them to stop testing altogether. Let me just stop for a second and remind you of something I often say. Government is very bad at solving problems. It always has been. It always will be. Government is ineffective. Government is bureaucratic. In times of crisis, we turn to government, like our parents, to see who help us, protect us, save us. Governments are not good at this. They really aren't. And unfortunately, because the bureaucracy, especially around healthcare, is so intense and there's so many layers, I'm not suggesting that the Trump administration did everything right here. I'm just telling you that as this is going on in January, I don't know how much Donald Trump knows about what's happening. I don't know what he's being told in terms of the lack of test kits. I don't know what's... It's very easy to look back and go, why wasn't this done? Why wasn't this done? When I asked a good friend of mine who's a doctor, who's not particularly a Trump person, I said, what do you think he could have done differently? He said, nothing. There's nothing anyone could have done differently. Because we didn't recognize... Nobody realized that the test issue was going to be such a big deal because our healthcare system is so bureaucratic, and that when people rush to start coming up with a test, they're stopped by regulators. Regulators don't let it happen. It's not as if they came to the president in the first week of February and said, we'd like to go make a bunch of coronavirus test kits, and he said no. Now, he's going to get the blame for it because this is what happens. Remember, I've always said to you, it's like one of those rules in life. If the economy is good on your watch, you get the credit. If the economy is bad on your watch, you get the blame. If the test kits are not there on your watch, you get the blame. This is how it works. But the reality is that government is so, there's so many layers of bureaucracy that are below the president that it's easy to turn around and go, why didn't you get more test kits? The story is much more complicated. Back to this piece. Fink and Baker from the New York Times in their study note that the government's failure to allow the study of the coronavirus to go forward was just one in a series of mischances by the federal government to ensure more widespread testing during the early days of the outbreak, when containment would have been made easier. Sadly, matters are not improving. The continued delays in getting government-approved testing kits have made it impossible for officials to get a true picture of the scale of the growing outbreak. Meanwhile, early government-approved diagnostic tests were contaminated, meaning the Seattle tests should have been welcomed as an alternative. The journalists conclude that, quote, the Seattle flu study illustrates how existing regulations and red tape, sometimes designed to protect privacy and health, have impeded the rapid rollout of testing nationally. While other countries ramped up much earlier and faster, faced with a public health emergency on a scale potentially not seen in a century, the United States has not responded nimbly. Needless to say, this is a public health catastrophe in the making. Overly precautionary regulations may have undermined public health and cost lives. Now, let me break from the piece for a second and point this out, too. Again, I'm not. This is my purpose here is not to get the Trump administration off the hook. I don't work for him. I don't work for the White House. Not my job to do that. I'm just telling you that it's very easy in hindsight to look back and go, why wasn't this done? I don't know how many of those bureaucrats that made the following decisions informed the White House of their decision making. Because our government is so big, and this is why people like me are constantly arguing to shrink the size of government, the bigger government gets, the more inefficient it gets. So I don't know how many bureaucrats from the CDC were letting the White House know that they were saying no to these alternative tests. And on it goes. Red tape versus public health. Officials, this is important. We got to learn from this stuff. We got to learn from this because this is not going to be the last time you and I are dealing with a pandemic. You know it, I know it. Officials at the CDC and the Food and Drug Administration say they are working aggressively to come up with better testing procedures to counter the virus, which has now been classified as a pandemic. Even if it is true that federal officials are trying their hardest to speed up testing, the government's rejection of the Seattle flu study testing represents a disturbing example of the failure of good intentions in action. Just because precautionary-minded regulators say they have our best interests in mind, it does not necessarily mean that their policies actually serve the public good. In this case, highly restrictive procedures for virus testing have had the unintended consequence of shutting down tests that could detect outbreaks and save lives. Going by the book apparently mattered more than getting good results. The virus is faster than the FDA, said a University of Washington Medical Center doctor. Incredibly, that doctor also said that at one point the agency was asking him to submit materials through the mail in addition to over email. Strict regulatory paperwork procedures have triumphed over common sense. Incidentally, the Seattle flu study team is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and health officials from the foundation from the state of Washington petitioned the CDC to consider using the Seattle team's test results. The CDC simply punted on the issue and told them to ask the FDA for approval. The Seattle flu study did not strictly comply with the established CDC and FDA lab regulations, however, and so the answer from federal regulators was always the same answer, no. Quote, we felt like we were sitting, waiting for the pandemic to emerge, Dr. Chu told the New York Times. We could help, but we couldn't do anything. What's most interesting about this example of innovation limiting regulation is that it did not stop Dr. Chu and her team from moving forward, at least not initially. Instead, they engaged in what we think of as evasive entrepreneurialism or technological civil disobedience. They went ahead and tested for the coronavirus without permission to prove that they might be able to help. Stated differently, they broke the law in pursuit of a higher goal. Now, let me break from the piece for a second and point this out to you. Again, these regulators from the FDA and the CDC who kept causing all this bureaucracy back and forth with this testing method from Seattle, how many of you think they took the time to pick up the phone and let Jared Kushner know? And if they had called the White House and let them know that, hey, there's this incredible new test out of Seattle and we're able to detect the outbreak and we don't have enough test kits and we don't have the ability to do this and we're playing catch up and the virus is moving faster. Is it okay if we do this? Can you just give presidential authority to do this? How many people honestly think that Trump would have said no? I don't think he would have said no. I think he would have said yes. But I'll bet you $1 million. I'm like, I can't legally make a bet with you, but you know, I'm just using that as a saying. I bet you that the White House didn't know. Because that's the problem with bureaucracy. That's the problem with the layers of bureaucracy, is that in times of crisis, it gets even worse. Because you think about the average person every day when their job's on the line. Now you're in the middle of a pandemic. Your job's on the line even more. You got to get this right. You can't make mistakes. Can't screw up. So now the bureaucrat level 4 at the CDC says, I can't approve this test because it doesn't meet our lab requirements. I got them right here. So let me ask the FDA. The FDA goes, I can't approve this. This doesn't meet our... I wonder if they even went to the head of their departments. You know, when this is all over, we're going to have to figure that part out too. My point is, it's really easy to turn around and point fingers, but it's much more complicated than that. This doctor is a hero, this Dr. Helen Chu and her team. They broke the law and they could have been fined and sent to jail because they wanted to make sure that the test could come out in the middle of an outbreak in Seattle, in Washington State. They wanted to do this. And regulators, not the president, regulators and these other people are the ones standing in the way, as always, standing in the way. Adam Thierer writing this from the American Institute for Economic Research and senior fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. I'll try to get him on the show next week. This is a brilliant piece.
I think he'll be on a Monday.
Thank you, Greg.
At this time, 8 a.m.
Fantastic. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. So when Joe Biden turns around and says this, accusing the Trump administration of hiding the number of coronavirus infections, just think of how stupid this is when he turns around and says this. 7B.
Anyone who needs to be tested based on medical guidance should be tested at no charge. At no charge. The administration's failure on testing is colossal. And it's a failure of planning, leadership, and execution. The White House should measure and report each day, each and every day, how many tests have been ordered, how many tests have been completed, and how many have tested positive. By next week, the number of tests should be in the millions, not the thousands. We must know the true extent of this outbreak so we can map it, trace it, and contain it. Nor should we hide the true number of infections in hope of protecting political interest or the stock market. The markets will respond strong to strong, steady, and capable leadership that addresses the root of the problem, not efforts to cover it up.
See, efforts to cover it up. Joe Biden's accusing the president of the United States and the CDC and the FDA of trying to cover up the coronavirus. That is such an irresponsible thing for him to say. That is absolutely irresponsible and idiotic for him to say that. But he's reading from a teleprompter, so he probably doesn't even know what he read. According to the New York Times, it remains unclear how many Americans have been tested for the coronavirus. But the problem here is that you had so many early missteps. Not because the White House was trying to cover it up, but because of the regulations and the bureaucracy and everything else. Dr. Chu and Dr. Lundquist, according to the New York Times, CDC officials reportedly said to them over and over again, repeatedly said, if you want to use your test as a screening tool, you would have to check with the FDA. Gail Langley, an officer of the CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Disease, in an email on February 16th, told these doctors in Seattle, if you want to use your test, you got to get it approved by the FDA. That's an email not from the White House. That's from a CDC bureaucrat who I bet you probably who knows if you even voted for Trump. But the FDA could not offer the approval because the lab was not certified as a clinical laboratory under regulations established by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, a process that could take months. Months. Dr. Chu and Dr. Lundquist tried repeatedly to wrangle approval to use the Seattle flu study. The answers were always no. The virus is going and they're getting exasperated. As Washington State debated with federal officials over what to do, the CDC confronted the daunting task of testing more widely for the coronavirus. The CDC had designed its own test, as it typically does during an outbreak. But this is why people say, why couldn't they have the test ready? It's because you have to test for this. You have to test for this. You can't just have a random test. You're trying to find the RNA of this virus. You have to make it for the virus you're looking for. That's why you can't just have tests sitting on a shelf. When the CDC shipped test kits to public labs across the country, some local health officials began reporting that the test was producing invalid results. The CDC promised that replacement kits would be distributed within days, but the problem stretched on for over 2 weeks. Only five state laboratories were able to test in that period. Washington and New York were not among them. This is an absolute failure by government, by bureaucracy. But it is not a failure of Donald Trump, per se. It's a failure of the system, and this is the problem. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, thank you for letting me know that we're on the air. I appreciate it. 855-839-1210. I'm going to try to take a call and see if this works. Nancy is an Ambler. Nancy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. Ambler happens to be in Montgomery County. So here's my thing. I think the whole thing is a huge overreaction. My biggest fear is the stupidity of my fellow citizens, okay? So first of all, if you look online and you look at the individual listing of who got tested for coronavirus, it says all of them have a mild case and they're all resting at home. They didn't die, okay? The odds of dying from coronavirus are the same as the odds that Elizabeth Warren is.
Yeah, but you see, here's the thing, though. There are people dying of coronavirus and they're elderly and they're it's not good if an elderly person gets it. And so the idea, what's that?
Well, dying is probably never a good thing. Let me finish, please.
No, I don't. Hang on a second, though. You're making a point that I don't think is factually correct. There are people dying of coronavirus, and you're saying they're not dying. There are people dying of coronavirus.
Well, of course, Rich. Listen, I want to make a couple points. Please hear me out. So first of all, every year we get a flu shot. Many years we're told, oops, it was the wrong strain.
Let me ask you a question. If somebody's hacking up a cough on the bus, you want to sit next to him or not? Yes or no?
I'm not afraid, Rich.
So you'll sit next to the person. So listen, I'm going to ask you, Nancy, honestly, if the person's on the bus hacking up a lung, you want to sit next to him? You want to be within 6 feet of him? Yes or no?
I'm not afraid, Rich.
Okay.
I'm a cancer survivor, first of all. Cancer tried to kill me. Cancer has killed way more people in a gruesome way than people are dying from coronavirus.
The reason why they're not dying in this country is because we right now are trying to do the right thing to keep people separated. There's over 1,000 people that have died of Italy. Do you want to lose? You don't want to lose anybody close to you who's elderly or has pre-existing conditions, right?
I'm not suggesting.
So we're taking steps.
Die.
We're just taking reasonable steps
to make sure
it doesn't spread.
No. It's not what's being done.
All right.
Is not.
Thanks for
reasonable.
The call. All right, Nancy, thank you. I appreciate the call. I can't. The mindset, I don't understand it. It's one thing to say that you think this is being overblown. It's another thing to say that this virus is not a big deal. Of course it's a big deal. The president of the United States would not do an Oval Office address to the nation and stop travel from Europe if this thing was not a big deal. He wouldn't do that. This is a big deal. This virus is a big deal. And we have to make sure that elderly people don't get it in particular. And also people with lung issues and heart issues. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this is not a big thing. And we should do our part, as the president said, do our part to make sure it doesn't spread. And that's it. And then it'll go away. And they'll find a way. They'll find a vaccine for it. And that'll be the end of it if we do the right things. But this has devastated countries around the world. It hasn't devastated this country. And if we're smart and if we do the right things, it won't devastate this country. But come on. Like, this is, I don't think a big, like, not going to the gym for a couple weeks so that the virus doesn't spread. I don't think it's a big deal. I really don't. I don't think it's that much of a sacrifice to ask when you consider all the sacrifices Americans have made in the last 100 years for our freedom and our liberty. And if we have to do those sacrifices for the health and safety of our fellow Americans, okay, big deal. What's the big deal? So we can't go to a hockey game, We can't go to the gym. We can't. Big deal for a couple weeks. And then hopefully spring comes and this thing goes away and we're fine. And then we can live. We can understand the lessons of it and make sure it doesn't happen again. That's what I think. Now, as far as the economic issues of this, that's a whole nother area. And I think what you're seeing right now in terms of the overreaction of this, unfortunately, some industries are going to be hurt. But there's also going to be winners in this. Every time there's losers, there's going to be winners. It's how it works. There are losers in the economy and there are winners in the economy, too. And let's not forget that. There are going to be a lot of companies that come out with innovative ways now to deal with this and have supplies for things. They're going to be big winners in all this. There are going to be some sectors that are not going to be very, very competent. And, you know, like Wendy says, I'm starting to sound like Chicken Little. I'm not trying to sound like Chicken Little. But if you think I am, then what do you say about the president of the United States? What do you think he was? Do you think in his Oval Office address he's saying that he's Chicken Little too? To me, it doesn't match. The logic on that doesn't match. If you support the president and he takes the time to give an Oval Office address to explain to the American people what has to be done, and then you turn around and you say this is all an overreaction, why would the president do that? Do you trust Donald Trump or not? If you trust the president, he's not a puppet. He's not going to go out there and do something he doesn't believe. He's not going to lie to you. So if he says that this is a problem, especially for the elderly, and we have to do our part, why? And you are a supporter of President Trump as I am. Why would you not go along with that? Why would you argue with that thinking? Is the president purposely trying to destroy the economy? Is the president trying to start a global depression? Is the president trying to needlessly scare us so that we can't leave our homes? The Donald Trump that you voted for, that I voted for, do you think so? No, of course not. He wants to make sure people don't get sick. So I have a hard time, if you're a Trump supporter, how you can then turn around and say that we're all overreacting with this. When he's the one who did the Oval Office address, he's the one that addressed the nation. He's the one that put in the travel ban from Europe. He's the one who said yesterday, I may exercise the power that I have to ground domestic air travel, especially in hard-hit places. He did that stuff. Him. And I'm telling you right now, if this thing gets worse and spreads on his watch, he's going to lose. He will lose the presidency. So if you want him to be reelected, take it seriously and just do the common sense things we should do to make sure it doesn't spread. It's not a big deal. And then it'll go away. But if we don't do those things that he's asking us to do, to make sure it doesn't spread, and it does become a big thing, because you're wrong if you don't think it is, then what happens? And then we have, like, Italy, 1,000 deaths. And you know, comparing it to Obama and the H1N1 and all the other stuff, we have to deal in the time we live right now. We have to deal in this moment in time right now where we are, and how we respond to this, and what happens in his presidency, during the course of his presidency, is what is going to determine November. Period. That's it. And if this outbreak is contained and it turns out that we all overreacted, but the overreaction is what kept it from spreading, then we don't have to worry about having a debate of how did all these people die on your watch. And I, for one, am okay with that from a political perspective. So just please think about that for me. Just take some time to think about that. And just if you believe that this is all some conspiracy to bring him down, just ask yourself why he would do an Oval Office address, why the president would ask you to keep your eye on the elderly people, to ask you to please not be in big crowds, to ask you, like, why Donald Trump would ask you to do these things. You're a Trump supporter. Please take the time to think about that. Because I can tell you from my conversations with the White House, this is not a hoax. This is not something that they think is no big deal. And they have to handle this right. And it doesn't make me Chicken Little. It doesn't make the president Chicken Little. It makes us realists who want to do the right thing. And history will judge him accordingly, by the way, for it. I don't think that's Chicken Little. I think it's just common sense. I think it's just being a realist. I'm not telling you to panic. I'm not telling you to go out and put all your money in the mattress and lock your doors and arm yourselves. And I'm just simply saying to take the steps to make sure a virus doesn't spread. I don't think that's a big deal. I don't think that makes anybody hysterical. And I don't think that makes anybody of the mindset of panic or anything else. There's a difference between preparation and panic. And I think what the president said the other night in terms of preparation and making sure it's taken seriously, and then making sure we don't have people from Europe coming here who could spread the virus. And then also, if we need to, closing off other places where that, which, by the way, I'm not a fan of quarantines. I'm not a fan of shutting down air travel. These things are not the kind of things that I particularly like to do. But I'm telling you right now, he wouldn't be exercising, thinking of exercising these powers unless it was legit. Donald Trump, he's not a guy that goes along with things that are hysteria. Donald Trump is not a hysteria kind of a guy. So just keep that in mind, please, is all I ask. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. We have to make sure China is held accountable for this. The world has to make sure China is held accountable. China covered this up. China let this spread. China is a bad country with a bad government. And much like Chernobyl with the Soviet Union, history needs to record it as such. History needs to make sure that we don't forget what China did. This is the Chinese coronavirus. This is the Wuhan virus. And it doesn't make me racist to say it. It doesn't make me xenophobic to say it. It reminds us where this came from, which is Wuhan, China. And the reason why you have to remember where this came from is because China covered it up. China made this worse. China has a lot of deaths on their hands that they need to answer for. And the world has to hold them accountable for this. And the reality is that all these people in the media right now and all these leftist politicians who are coming out and saying, don't call it Chinese, don't say Wuhan and all this other nonsense that they're saying. You know what? They're doing that to cover up for China because that's what China wants. And they're afraid that it's going to make communism look bad and socialism look bad, which is the ideology preached by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders and all these other people. So they're more than willing to cover for China. Make no mistake. They're more than willing. And I'm telling you right now, it is the Wuhan virus. It is the Chinese coronavirus. Not because I hate Chinese people. I happen to love Chinese food, by the way. It's like my second favorite cuisine. It's because we have to remember, much like Chernobyl was not a nuclear meltdown, it was a Soviet Union meltdown. This virus spread because of the Chinese communist government's oppression of their people, suppression of the truth, suppression of freedom, suppression of the press. And ultimately, because they didn't want the world to think something bad could happen. And look where we are right now. Look where we are right now. So don't let that go to waste in terms of us doing what we have to do to make sure that that they are held accountable. My heart breaks for the Philadelphia police today as they lose one of their own. It's a damn shame. It really, really is. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210 really reminds you how dangerous it is to be a cop. No doubt about it. Really is. So God bless all the cops today. Everywhere, not just in Philadelphia, by the way, everywhere. 855-839-1210. Coming right back.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.